Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCN. Now, this is a day to remember. I was looking at the box score for Cromwell Wright against Spring Grove, and I've heard about this kid, Alex Foles. Big, strong-arm quarterback. I mean, he throws a tight spiral, and he can move. And I'd heard about him coming in. I hadn't really seen him play before. And then I started to watch some of the highlights of him tonight, and I said, whoa, that kid's got a little something-something there. That's a college quarterback. That's not a high school quarterback. So I wanted to see what his stat line was because I didn't get to see a lot of the game. They won the game 48-12. Spring Grove did. Alex Foles was the quarterback. He was 25 for 34 for 368 yards and 4 touchdowns. And, oh, yeah, he rushed 19 times for 85 yards and 3 more touchdowns. So he threw for 4, ran for 3, accounting for most of their 48 points in one way, shape, or form. I don't know what his size is, his dimensions. But I'd love to check that out because I think – I mean, he looks like he could be a linebacker. He's so big and strong, and he's got that kind of frame. He looks like he just wants to compete and get after it and get out there. And that's the way he – and, boy, that's the game he played today. But we'll have to check and see what his status is. A lot of good quarterbacks in it. Caledonia, this King kid, he was great. Suggs played – Suggs. They ended up beating Waseca 23-16. He's a great quarterback. Obviously, Eden Prairie has a good one going to the University of Minnesota next year. Blaine's got kind of a gamer. Lakeville South and North, they more ask their quarterback to play behind the line, and Lakeville South will hand the ball off a lot and do kind of things like that. That's what makes it fun, especially at the high school level. These teams can be so creative. They, when you're a high school coach, you have a chance to kind of implement whatever it is that this is the good news, bad news, whatever it is that fits the system and the school that you're at, based on the enrollment and the kids that you have, you can do. And there are no hard, fast rules. And so teams will run the single wing, or some of them will run the option still, some of them will run shotgun, some of them will run empty backfields. But you see it all at the high school level. And the really good coaches figure out what it is they got for talent, and they work around that. So if you got a great big offense, like I was watching, Caledonia is good in every phase of the operation, but their offensive line is so good that their quarterback's a lot. He rolls out, he looks, and then if based on the coverage, sometimes if you're running a lot of fly patterns and post patterns, and they follow your receivers, he can run for 10 yards. If not, he'll just pick the receiver out that's most open, and boom, make a play. And they can do that because their offensive line is so good. Elk River, we're hoping to hear from Coach Hamilton here. He decided to kind of reverse engineer the whole thing at a time when this is what happens when teams when a new coach goes into a program. He goes in there, and if the program's not doing well and he's trying to get kids to go out for the team, he says, we're going to throw the ball all over the field because he wants to get more kids out. It sounds exciting, and the receivers come out, and he tries to get basketball players to come out for the football team, do all those things. What Coach Hamilton did, and Lakeville South has now done, is said, we're going to run a real sophisticated running game. And our quarterback, in essence, may have played running back growing up, and now we're going to ask him to play quarterback. We're going to teach him footwork. We're going to teach him reads. We're going to do all that kind of stuff. And we're going to let him play football that way. And it becomes a very interesting kind of football on skates sometimes, but you got no idea where the football is half the time. You know, Elk River had, 73-63 game with Buffalo, something like that. And I watched the videotape of that with the coach. He'd show me the play 3 times, and I still couldn't figure out who had the football. They got that good at it. But it's the opposite of what you would expect. If you want to have a good team, you got to do this. They take it the other direction. They say, we're going to run the football 90% of the time. And they get all these kids to buy into it, and all of them come out for the team. And I guess if you're a quarterback, you don't have to worry about having a great arm. You just have to worry about having great feet and being able to understand, read a defense, and run the football once in a while. The Vikings will be up against a pretty good one, Trubisky, this week. He continues to mature as a quarterback. Still not exactly where they want him to be, but he's got some game. Mike Zimmer has seen him since he came into the league, and he offered this.
Really, and pretty much everything. But, you know, there's there's been times he's had some free runners, and, you know, it looks like they're telling him, hey, you got to get the ball out. He gets the ball out with the accuracy. There's other times when he looks like Fran Tarkington scrambling. You know, some of the runs he made are unbelievable. You know, and they're obviously using him in a bunch of different ways. But I think the command of the offense is probably his biggest thing. You know, he's being able to go through progressions more now. You know, I know, you know, when they're in their no huddle, they're telling him, you know, what plays to call and things like that. So, you know, it's a little bit of that style.
And more Sunday night. Steve Hamilton, head coach Elk River, joins us now. Steve, I just gave him the big introduction to what you guys do, although I don't explain it nearly as well as you do. The offense that you run and the way that you do it, it's a lot of fun for people that haven't seen it to watch, but good luck trying to figure out who has the football. Give us the paragraph again on how you came here, you're not from Minnesota, and you said this is how we're going to do it, and how you built that Elk River football program.
Yeah, well, I started doing it in Michigan before I left, and then for 4 years in Georgia. And then we came here, and I had a couple options and jobs, and they had been running spread at Elk River, and they had struggled, and they didn't score. And so I thought the buy-in would be easy because I thought if we could get first downs, people would be excited. And I knew we could do that. So we just came in and said, this is all we're going to do. In the past, I've done spread things with it and other things. And we just committed to this is who we're going to be and this is how we're going to play football. And they really bought in, and we had success right away, which really helped, obviously. But, you know, I know it's different for most people if they haven't seen it. It's certainly looks like it's some old school Woody Hayes thing, but it's, you know, it's a little bit different than that. But I don't know. I think if you like running and scoring, it's exciting offense. If you want to see the ball in the air, obviously, it's maybe not that exciting to watch.
Yeah, but it's exciting in a different way because you're trying to figure out what you guys are doing all the time. You're saying, how did they do that? And so I found it to be just as invigorating in a different way.
Well, yeah, I really think it is. I think people that appreciate football and you know, on a pretty high level especially, they can look at it and see that there's a lot of things going on. We do a lot of things up front. To the average fan, I think they see it and they think we've run maybe three plays, and you know, they don't know that we block them 17 different ways.
Sure.
We're getting, but yeah, I think if you're really into football, I think you really appreciate that. And if you're just a casual fan, then maybe you don't.
I was told that Tyler Krebs out of Lakeville South was having a tough time deciding what he wanted them to be. And he came to you and said, how do you do this? Can you explain the conversation and what it's like to implement it?
Well, it's been really interesting. And actually, I got to credit John Shillito, who's kind of the guru back in Michigan, because he told me after we won it 2 years ago, because that game was on TV and so many people would see it who hadn't seen it before, he said, you're going to start getting a lot of calls. And we have. I mean, it's probably close to 20 schools from, you know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, Iowa that have come in, and, you know, maybe they're struggling and they want to figure out some way to be able to compete with the teams they have to play with. So Tyler just came in and said, you know, he thought they were going to be a couple years away. Honestly, he thought they were going to be young and they had a lot of lost yardage plays, and they looked at what we did. No, there's very few plays where you're going to lose yards and you can keep the clock running and stay competitive. And then as you get better, obviously you can score a lot of points, and they've done such a tremendous job. We weren't close to semifinals my first year here. So Tyler and his staff and their kids have done an amazing job.
What does it take to teach it and implement it? Is it, can do kids pick up on it quickly? And as a coach, is it easy to learn?
Well, I think it's a different mentality. Like, so we went from spread to this. So we had to teach our linemen, you know, we're going to put a lot of weight forward and we're really going to get off the ball. And we're basically sprinting off the ball. We're not standing up and catching people. So that takes some time to get kids to play at the level you want, which is what's so impressive about what Lakeville South has done in their first year. It's taken our guys a long time. We play at a really low pad level and we play really fast up front, but that takes just lots and lots of practice. And then obviously, if this is all you do, like it is for us, we have to have a lot of answers for defenses. So we have to have a lot of variations. So that's where our kids' learning time comes in, and when to block what.
And you've also got a defense that needs to prepare for Jason Williamson, one of the great running backs in the state at Owatonna, set a record of 477 yards a couple weeks ago against Northfield. You've seen him before in this stadium. What do you see?
I still have nightmares of him. Jason's a stud. I mean, I know somebody down there, newspaper down there, asked me, you know, how do you prepare for someone like him? There's, all you can do is you try to take away their best plays and you try to take away their best players. And if your guys aren't good enough to do that, it is what it is. I mean, we try to put them in the best spot. But, you know, Jason is a special athlete, and somehow we have to try to contain him. But they have other good players, too, and they have really good coaches. And that's what makes it really, really difficult.
What did he do last year? Because that's when he kind of burst onto the scene. When you looked at the tape, what did you see?
Well, we knew he was really good. What made last year really difficult with them is their quarterback threw for over 3,000 yards, and they had almost at 1,000, and then they had him too. So you really had to pick your poison. And this year, I think that they still have, you know, a lot of really good players, but the last few weeks, certainly, they've just said, we're going to give it to Jason and make somebody stop him, and nobody's been able to do it yet.
Well, that's why the numbers are so skewed toward the playoffs, huh? Because they've kind of changed philosophically and just said, we're going to ride the big guy.
They are. I think right now they're going into games, and I'm sure we're going to see it tomorrow. Jason's going to get the ball, and if we can somehow contain him, then you'll probably see some other things. But, you know, if we're like everybody else that's played him here and we can't stop him, I think you're going to see him get a lot of carries.
Does the turf and the U.S. Bank Stadium play well to what you guys try to do philosophically? I would think it would, but then again, I would think that offensively, any team that's got a high-power offense would want to be on turf inside.
I think any offensive coach wants to be on turf, wants to have great footing. For us, I think it's, as strange as it sounds, I think it's even more important because of how compact we are. Our linemen have to have footing to move people. And when you get on those wet fields and you're slipping and sliding, it's really tough to create the creases that we need. So we think it's really beneficial for us. I'm pretty sure Coach Williams down there at Owatonna is feeling pretty good about being on turf too.
What were your numbers when you first got here on the varsity team, and what are they now in terms of kids going out for the team?
You know, it's probably fairly similar. My first year or two, we were a little bit down, maybe in the 40s, and now we're probably mid-50s. I think last year maybe we had 60. It kind of varies. You have some classes that are a little bigger and some a little smaller that come through. We've held pretty steady, I would say. I know some areas have lost some kids. I think part of that, obviously, is being somewhat successful like we have been. You know, kids want to be part of that because football, it's tough. It's a grind, and if you're not winning, it's really tough to get buy-in.
For sure. But, boy, it's fun when it is, and I imagine the school's buzzing right now, huh?
Yeah, they are. Well, you know, they get super excited because they're getting out of school 2 hours early.
Like all great students, nothing excites them more than you guys getting an afternoon draw out of the deal.
That's right.
Hey, Steve, always enjoy our time. Thank you so much, and continued success.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Steve Hamilton, nice enough to join us. On News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. You're home to Timberwolves basketball. Tomorrow night, the Wolves back in action. How about that? Two straight wins since they traded Jimmy Butler. And it seems like, I don't think this will carry, you know, for the long term, but it seems like everybody just kind of exhaled. Like they said, okay, now we know. Now we know what it is. We need some certainty, not uncertainty. We need to get this cloud, no matter how it's resolved, we need to get this thing figured out. So get Butler out of here if that's what we have to do, and let's bring in Covington and Darich and see what they can do. And I don't know how quickly they can integrate themselves into the system and be a part of it and all that goes with it and how complicated that could be. But at least for a night last night, they were able to hold off New Orleans and find a way to win a basketball game. So that's step one. And certainly Covington can play defense. He looks like he's a competitive guy. He averages about 11 points a game, and he can maybe make up for some of the deficiencies. But I still think there's two things have to happen with this team. Number one, Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins have to take ownership of the team. You saw a little bit of that last night in body language, and Wiggins had a big dunk in the fourth quarter where he just took the ball and said, I'm going to the hoop. You're going to have to follow me, or you're not going to stop me. And I thought that was encouraging. And then the other part is Derrick Rose and his reemergence as a star. Now, he didn't play last night, and that is a bit concerning because he could be one of those guys that ends up taking a lot of nights off because of soreness and injuries. But he's playing at a different level again. he's doing some different things again. He's making plays again. He's giving energy to this team. He's a tough guard. He's a tough person to play against. And they have had ample opportunities to showcase him this year. And it's been really fun to see, because if he finds himself again, and part of it is he's playing for a contract next year, but at this juncture we don't care why they want to play well, just that they play well. He can give them some life. So for more on that, let's go now to our satellite studio in Plymouth, Minnesota, Medicine Lake, where we find our veteran scribe, 98-year-old Sid Hartman, who watches it all the time. Sid, good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Let's start with the Timberwolves.
Well, on the basis of what they showed last night, that might turn out to be a pretty good deal. Those two guys, they were starting for the Philadelphia team, so they weren't the worst players in the world. And I thought last night, number 33 and number 36 did a pretty good job. How do you like the fact that the Twins named Arkansas college pitcher to pitching coach?
I was surprised, to tell you the truth. Were you surprised?
I can't believe that. Can you?
No, I ran to Gene Glynn today, and are you there? You okay?
Well, to be honest, those two guys, they're nice guys and all that, but they haven't done one single thing to help this team so far.
You're talking about Derek Falvey and Thad Levine now.
Pardon me?
You're talking about Falvey and Levine.
Yeah. All the free agents they signed out here, most of them turn out to be a flop. They haven't done anything. They fired Molitor, and everything's been kind of negative. I'm waiting for something to be positive from those two guys.
Yeah, and I don't know how they go about it this offseason. What did you think of the Joe Mauer press conference?
The what?
Joe Mauer press conference.
Mauer press conference?
Yeah.
That was a fantastic press conference. He had so many people of big-time athletes there.
Yeah.
Gardner was there. Molitor was there. Kelly was there. Some of the top other sports people were there. Morneau was there. I've never gone to a press conference that's had that many people there.
Pretty interesting. Vikings. I saw you at the Vikings today. Do you like their chances against Chicago Sunday night?
I think that's going to be a very, very tough game for them. First of all, they don't like to play in the wintertime. The Bears play all their games in the wintertime.
Well, not all of them, but yeah.
The Vikings haven't had good experience in the wintertime. And right now, the Bears have a lot more better statistics than the Vikings. They made a deal for that great defensive end with Oakland. They gave up so much stuff for him. They gave up 2 number 1 draft choices, gave up 2 number 2 draft choices. They gave up some other players. What do you think of the Gophers?
I don't know. What do you think of the Gophers?
Right now, they are a 1-point favorite. Las Vegas has them a 1-point favorite to beat Northwestern. Northwestern started out as a 4-point favorite, but now I understand the Gophers are a favorite.
Well, that's not good, because the Gophers were big favorites against Illinois and they got killed, and they were big underdogs last week and they won.
You never know if they can play as well as they played against Purdue. Although I think Purdue was a victim. Part of it was the cold weather. They don't have that kind of weather in West Lafayette, Indiana. And I think Northwestern plays a lot of games in the outdoors in Chicago. I don't think the cold weather will bother them at all.
And last, the Gopher basketball team. Have you been pleasantly surprised so far? What do you see?
So far, Mike, they haven't played anybody.
Let's be honest, yeah.
They haven't. We'll find out when they go out to the West Coast and play some of those good teams out there. We'll find out for sure what this story is. Well, we'll find out. Utah was not a very good team. Duluth wasn't any good team. That other team they played was nobody.
Yeah.
They haven't beaten anybody yet. But I think, personally, they got pretty good personnel. Those three freshmen seem like they're very good. They got Coffee healthy now. They got everybody healthy except one guy. And so that from that standpoint, last year, they had injuries after injury.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much. And we'll do it again on Sunday, okay?
Hey, let me tell you, we got a lot of good people for Sunday. We got Lou Nanny to talk about hockey. We got Mr. Taylor to talk about the
Timberwolves.
We got the Twins manager to talk about his new guys he just named, including that new college pitch. And we'll have PJ. And people should listen to you. Nobody does a better job than you do. You're fantastic.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate your friendship more than you know. Have a good night, bud.
Bye.
Sid Hartman, nice enough to join us. That's the same thing he said earlier tonight. Just sounded a little bit different. Let's go from that to duck migration, as we often do. People think of Sid Hartman, and they think, well, are the ducks flying right now? Well, we can answer both questions in one segment. Graham Gresseth from Max Out Guides joins us now. Graham, how are you?
I'm good. Mike, can I officially say that Sid Hartman just warmed up the seat for me?
Absolutely. Keep this tape in your archives, okay, buddy?
Done deal.
So, the migration is on, kind of, in that – a lot of things are frozen up right now. Does that mean this is a great time to hunt, or does that mean it's only a great time to hunt if you know what you're doing?
Well, it's a, positive is a negative, just like, you know, it's
sure.
Never easy when you waterfall.
Now, the good news is you can find where they are, right? Because you know where there's open water.
They're going to be concentrated usually on big water. You know, right now, all the little stuff out here in Western Minnesota is froze up. So that means that all the birds go to Lac Parle and Big Stone. So you know where they're going.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be pretty concentrated on those two spots. So if you have the ability to scout those areas and get land access in those areas, then you can probably get into something, pretty good. You're going to be under some birds for sure. Hopefully get into a good feed where those birds are feeding and they wake up in the morning and they want to go to. So there's definitely some potential in these late season hunts to get into something good. But then there's also, there's a yin, there's a yang. And that's there's a lot of birds right now. It's easy for, some of the birds change their pattern. They go down into a different field. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, all the birds that were coming to your field.
Sure. They all go piling into the same live decoys, right?
Right, exactly. Yep, exactly.
So what advice do you give to hunters that go out and they try to pick the right field? I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, they all look the same to me from where I am. What can you look for that determines whether or not, short of watching birds go in and out, that you think they'll be there?
Well, like I said, the biggest thing, Mike, is you got to get out and scout, and you got to be able to watch them when they're flying and during their feed times. Today, the feed started about, we're sort of feeding about 2 o'clock today. You didn't see much in the morning at all, but then about two, they started streaming out the lake. So then you got to watch that. There's a lot of factors. Like we have one of our fields that we lease, that was pretty full of birds tonight. Normally you look at that and you think, gosh, there's, 2,000 or 3,000 geese feeding out there. I should hunt it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow, the weather's going to change quite a bit from what it was today. We're snowing right now tonight. We're going to have, pretty significant system rolling tomorrow afternoon. And typically when that happens, it's hard to trust those birds. This field was 6-7 miles off the refuge. It's hard to trust those birds
sure.
to make it that far back out tomorrow.
But you can't afford not to go there, can you?
We do. We're not going to hunt that one tomorrow. I've just been too many times in a situation like this.
You want to get closer to the refuge now?
Yep, for sure. For sure. Now, we could be missing out on a great shoot. Those birds could come rolling back in there, and you burn them up. But there's a bigger boom factor to that hunt that if you go out to that spot and those birds shortstop you, you could literally go all day on one of a
yep.
great waterfalling day tomorrow and never see a bird.
What about when it goes from the 20s to the 40s? What does that do to the birds?
that's going to make them a little, you know, the feeds are obviously, they're going to be a little less susceptible to decoy spreads then. They're probably just going to, this time of year, they're probably just going to feed in the afternoon. They're going to be a little more, you know, they're not going to wake up and think, man, I got to get right to that spot that I was at yesterday. It's a lot. They're a little more finicky. They're not as motivated to get down and feed in a situation like that. So that's a little bit tougher to hunt. You can still kill some birds, you know, if they maintain their pattern, but there's a lot more variables in a situation like that.
If you're close enough to open water, do you ever hunt it as the first line and try to pass shoot them, or does that not work?
Ask that again.
If you're close enough to where they're sitting on the open water, whether it's a refuge or a river or wherever it is, does it ever behoove you to just set up and try to pass shoot as they come off the lake, or do they get too high always?
You know, it's all about conditions. On a day like tomorrow, like right now, the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour. It's going to back off to about 5 miles an hour. Unless you can get right on top of those birds where they're coming off the lake to pass shoot them, they're probably going to be too high by the time they get to you. And if you can get close enough to them where you do have a good shot on a day like tomorrow, the first volley you have, you're probably going to rack those, you know, the first time that you cut into some.
You better get them on that first few shots, because you ain't going to see them again, huh?
Yep, everything's going to push off that water, and then your hunt's done. So pass shooting's usually always best if you can get a good wind. That lowers the ceiling quite a bit, brings the birds down a lot lower. That's when you're going to be able to get some good pass shooting in.
And now what about you do metro hunts as well. Does the metro look good right now? I'd imagine the open water is pretty much the form of the river, huh?
Yeah, you know, the Mississippi River, we have a lot of land that we lease along that, and that's holding a lot of birds right now. The metro is really, October is a really tough time for the metro, just because the October full moon and how those birds tend to feed in town and parks and grass, it really messes with us. This is probably, outside of September, this is probably the best time of year to hunt around the metro. Those birds really stage up heavy on the river. We've got a lot of real good land that we lease out around the Mississippi River all along it, and it's definitely a good time for the metro.
In the metro, are you better off trying to hunt ducks or geese, or doesn't it matter?
You know, we always probably focus a little bit more on geese than ducks, but we shoot a good amount of ducks around the metro. But Canada's are definitely our bread and butter. But if you can get on the Mississippi River and get onto some open water, you know, you should definitely be able to shoot some birds this time of year, especially some ducks.
And you've always often told me that goose decoys are the best for ducks anyway. So if you're hunting geese, if the ducks are flying, you're still in good shape in the field, right?
Yep, for sure. Your visibility is, you know, it's just so much more if you can get those Canada honkers out, you're so much more visible. It's much easier to decoy birds, especially ducks, on a water situation if you can get a bunch of Canadas out. That's what we found anyway.
So, and you still got some availability here before, I think the duck season ends a week from Sunday?
Yeah, well.
Although you guys keep hunting geese, but.
Yeah, we'll be hunting them hard here through the end of, you know, Thanksgiving weekend in the central zone. In western Minnesota here up by the lodge, we'll actually target them all the way through the end of our season in the south zone as well, because that's, you know, south of 212. You can still hunt ducks until December 2nd, I believe it is, this year. And
you can hunt ducks that long?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's south of zone.
As long as you're south of 212, which is really the dividing of where you are, isn't it?
Right, exactly. It's 10 miles south of our lodge.
Yeah.
So we'll stay after ducks until the very end. And that's, you know, that's really the bummer is that, you know, they kind of gave us a wild card the other day, as you saw when you were out. But there is a lot of ducks in the area right now.
Never a question of the numbers, right? It's just you got to be in the right field.
Right. Yeah. And they're not being they're kind of jumping fields from one field to the next right now. They're being, you know, it's been mild the last couple of days. So that's been, you know, that's kind of messing with their feed patterns. And they're not being real field loyal, I guess, as we call it, where they wake up in the morning and they know exactly where they want to go. But the amount of ducks that is out here in the western part of the state right now is it's significant. So,
and you can break some ice up, right? You've got some of those heaters that do that. Are you running them right now too?
Yeah, we got two different spots we're keeping open. We're going to be hunting those this weekend. We'll probably hunt those on Saturday. Saturday's going to be clear and cold, and typically those birds don't go out and feed on mornings like that, so we're going to try and catch some that maybe want to trade and go water to water in the morning, so we'll be hunting those ice heater sets on Saturday.
Hey Grandma, Wednesday we got to go out, okay?
Sounds good, buddy.
Metro hunt, okay?
Yep, that'll work.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Graham Gresseth, maxedoutguides.com. They know where the birds are, and I've hunted with them many times, and I can tell you they know where the birds are. So much so that I think I'm going to have to maybe take next Wednesday afternoon off again so that I've got something to be thankful for on Thursday. And, of course, my family needs to eat on Thanksgiving dinner, and we don't have anything right now. So it looks like I'm going to have to go out and try to – it's going to be incumbent upon me to find that that Thanksgiving goose, or dare I say it, a mallard duck. Stay with us. Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. You don't mess around with Steve is what this should say.
Yeah.
Steve Thompson's got a special edition of the Radio Rally coming up.
This is it. This is the final.
How are you?
This is the final studio version of the program for the season tonight.
For the season, yeah.
How about that? Because we're going to be over.
You're doing prep when you're doing the game.
Yep, 6-8 title game.
7 o'clock next week, right?
Yep, that's plan. I think they're going to probably be running late.
Yeah, you can't anticipate.
Yeah, they usually start a little later than that.
When you guys going to pick up the broadcast about 6:30 next week?
Yeah, because I think you're in earlier in the day.
Oh, earlier in the day, yeah.
And then you're going to be over at TV. But if you're over there, swing in and say hello.
Can I?
Well,
it's a good
of course.
Seat over, it's a good seat over there, man.
Yeah,
Dave. I don't want to. Can you give us? I know you'll break this down in more detail, but do we? What do we got with Blaine and Eden Prairie today? Is there a
7-0 Eden Prairie quarter number two? Speaking of late starts.
Oh, Blaine, did they get started late?
Yeah, they did. They started this one late. Blaine has turned it over a couple of times. They've struggled a little bit, and Eden Prairie has played pretty well. They've got that good quarterback at Eden Prairie, and they've been throwing it around a little bit, but 7-0, so it's been a defensive struggle, and they're midway through quarter number two right
now. So that
now.
One's yet to be determined.
Yeah.
As we say, it's too close to call.
The polls
are not closed yet.
And we will have a full game report on that one coming up later on in the program. And game reports, coach interviews from games earlier in the day today.
Yes, yeah, so I went and watched Caledonia play. They're as good as that.
Oh, yeah.
SMB beat Waseca. Waseca really been on a roll.
Yeah, and SMB is pretty good, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's had big co-op in town.
There's only, I think, four kids from Blake, so it's pretty much Minnehaha Academy because I don't think St. Paul gives them any either, St. Paul Academies. But
Jalen Suggs,
but he's got a bunch of good receivers.
Yeah.
Early in the year, he was hurt, and I wish I could remember and give him credit for the name of the backup quarterback. But I'm watching the backup quarterback, and I'm going, this kid's really good, too.
Yeah.
So Suggs has got to be really good to be better than that kid because he was really good.
And the early game, Spring Grove, team to beat in nine.
Foles, man.
He
threw for four, ran for three.
He was really good a year ago, if you remember, in the state tournament and in prep bowl. And he is back for another run. And it's funny how it goes in nine-man over the years. Remember Stephen Argyle?
Yep.
They won all those titles. And it kind of goes in waves at the nine-man level. And they got it going on for sure.
Yeah, right. Well, of course, I guess at every level, Eden Prairie dominates 6A over the years.
That's right. Yep.
Caledonia, I mentioned. I mean, a lot of those schools get it going, and they get their run. It's just a question of how long they can keep it going.
Dave Lee sat down with Larry Thompson, who knows a lot about Lakeville football.
Yeah, Lakeville. Who knows more about Lakeville football than the guy that invented Lakeville football?
And we got that coming up. Dave had a long chat with him, and Lakeville North, Lakeville South. And that's really a good story. Lakeville North took over number one when they beat Eden Prairie early in the year, Mike. But Lakeville South went into the playoffs as a sixth seed.
And here they are
playing in the semifinals.
They took that offense from Elk River, and here they go.
Yeah.
Tanner Krebs did a nice job there since he came over from Burnsville. Steve, looking forward to it. Break it down, and we'll be listening.
Look forward to it.
Plus, next week, the Prep Bowl game. You'll have Eric going to be with you?
Yep. 6-8 in title game, 7 o'clock or so.
Yeah, it'll be good, whoever it is in it. So that concludes this edition of WCCO Sports to the Max. Steve Thompson coming up next with another edition of the Radio Rally. Thanks for listening to News Talk 830-W.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.